500,000 children in the United States currently take antipsychotic drugs. Children from low-income families are 4 times as likely as privately insured children to receive antipsychotic medications. These medications often are used to make abused and neglected children more tractable. In 2008, 19,045 children under age 5 and under were prescribed antipsychotics through Medicaid. One study, based on Medicaid data in 13 states, found that 12.4% of children in foster care received antipsychotics, compared with 1.4% of Medicaid-eligible children in general. These medications make children more manageable and less aggressive, but they also interfere with motivation, play, and curiosity, which are indispensable for maturing into a well-functioning and contributing member of society. Children who take them are also at risk of becoming morbidly obese and developing diabetes. Meanwhile, drug overdoses involving a combination of psychiatric and pain medications continue to rise. Because drugs have become so profitable, major medical journals rarely publish studies on non-drug treatments of mental health problems. Practitioners who explore treatments are typically marginalized as alternative. Studies of non-drug treatments are rarely funded unless they involve so-called manualized protocols, where patients and therapists go through narrowly prescribed sequences that allow little fine-tuning to individual patients' needs. Mainstream medicine is firmly committed to a better life through chemistry, and the fact that we can actually change our own physiology and inner equilibrium by means other than drugs is rarely considered. Adaptation or disease? The brain disease model overlooks 4 fundamental truths. 1, our capacity to destroy one another is matched by our capacity to heal one another. Restoring relationships and community is central to restoring well-being. 2, language gives us the power to change ourselves and others by communicating our experiences, helping us to define what we know and finding a common sense of meaning. 3, we have the ability to regulate our own physiology, including some of the so-called involuntary functions of the body and brain, through such basic activities as breathing, moving, and touching. And 4, we can change social conditions to create environments in which children and adults can feel safe and where they can thrive. When we ignore these quintessential dimensions of humanity, we deprive people of ways to heal from trauma and restore their autonomy. Being a patient, rather than a participant in one's healing process, separates suffering people from their community and alienates them from an inner sense of self. Given the limitations of drugs, I started to wonder if we could find more natural ways to help people deal with their post-traumatic responses.